Only thing, only preachers I ain't fond of is those that's got energy like that. That's no, son, I'm just kidding. You know better than that. I hope you do anyhow. I don't have that energy. I just got what I got, and that's about all. But I do appreciate being here. Appreciate y'all being here. I was sitting there thinking when Brother Bud is preaching that every one of us, I know I do, I have reasons not to be here tonight. And I'm sure all you do have reasons not to be here tonight. When I get done, you may have another reason. I don't know. But I appreciate you taking time to come and be in the meeting tonight. And Brother Bud, I couldn't help but think about this when you was preaching. Leah was a wanting babies, but she's the one rejected. And she's the one cast off. It ain't popular these days. Old time religion, salvation, and salvation that comes by way of the Holy Ghost, sure isn't popular. That's the only salvation there is. That's it, though. There's no other way. Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11. I want to read one verse tonight and squeeze what I can out of it. And then I'll be done, preacher. Leviticus 17, 11. I want to preach on something tonight that you cannot get through this year without. And then I want to preach on something you can't get to heaven without. So I want to preach on the importance of blood. And before you get real strung out on that, just hear me out, would you? And don't leave me on the first thought, okay? Leviticus 17:11. If you don't mind, let's stand together, reverence for reading of the Word of God. Verse number 11 said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." The efficacy, you may be seated, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus is denied when Jesus stepped on the scene in this world. And it's still being denied through much of religion. Not much religion today is about the blood. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, purified the temple twice. He told them, he said, "You'll not make it a den of merchandise." It's not about that. But we have that same crowd around today who are making the blood of Jesus and salvation a cheap thing. As a matter of fact, people are selling a lot of cheap crosses these days. And people are trying to peddle salvation without conviction. And church houses are full of lost members, people who say they're saved. Verse 11, if you'll notice, this thing is separated into three different parts. God is a God of grammar. He wrote this book, and he didn't just write the words. He put the grammar in it as well. He is always grammatically correct. And if you'll notice, he said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." That's one whole statement. And if you got the right kind of Bible, it'll have a dot there. That's grammar. You ought to know what that is from school. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." That's a second full statement. Dot. You ought to know what that is. "For it is the blood of the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." It is no coincidence that God put three complete statements in one verse about the blood. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, then you must not believe that God gave the Word of God in the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, but yet He preserved it in English. Now, we either believe the Bible or we don't believe the Bible, and this is the Word of God. But there's a little pronoun. He said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." I've given it. It. That little word, that little pronoun is all about the blood. It is it that makes a difference in our life. It's not religion, it's not water baptism, it's not church membership, it's not good works. It's all about it. Without it, you cannot have salvation. Without it, you cannot be saved. Without it, we would all be on our way to hell. And I say thank God for it, the blood of Jesus Christ. There's three realms he deals with. He deals with the natural realm, he deals with the historical realm, and then he deals with the theological realm here. The little word thee, he said, I gave thee blood that maketh an atonement. There's a difference in the blood he's talking about in the first statement versus the blood he's talking about in the next two statements. There's a difference in the blood and our blood. Amen? That's a little definite article that reminds us that there's something about this blood that is different from all others. And you'll find that all through scriptures. I'm not telling you preachers anything. Y'all know the blood's all through it. I want to give you three things tonight about the blood. Number one, the first statement is about the science of hematology. You say, oh, that's a big word, preacher. Well, that's the biological realm. That is the natural realm that blood works in our life. Back this past May, I was diagnosed with anemia. It was chronic. I'd lost 55% of my blood. And when you lose that much, you don't do much. You are slowed down considerably. And I've been to hematologists. I have been to hematologists / oncologists. I've been every 6 weeks since May to the hematologists and gave them blood, and they do their little thing. So this little word hematology is an important word to you and I, because it is the study or the discipline, really. It's the medical discipline of the study of blood. That's what it is. And so we see, first of all, the importance of blood that God has put into us. He's honing in here in verse number 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, whether you realize it or not tonight, you've got blood in you that you won't make it through this year without. God knows what He's doing. And He's honing in here on a biological necessity that was written 1,500 years before Christ, 1,700 years before William Harvey ever discovered that blood's flowing through our veins. God is a big God, and He knows all about the hematological aspect of our life. He knows we need it. Amen. He put it there. And He's made it so simple, really. This is a mysterious... This water here won't work in your veins. This is a mysterious substance, Brother Ken. God has let this mysterious substance flow through us all these years to keep us alive. The average person has 5 quarts of blood in them. That's 8% of your body weight if you weigh 100 pounds. You weigh 200, you got 16 pounds or 16 quarts of blood. You are, and I am probably not normal tonight. All of us are abnormal. Amen, preacher. Yeah, this little fellow here may be normal. But histologically speaking, or hematologically speaking, or just blood speaking, all of us tonight got to have this flowing through us, no matter how big or little we are. Because it is, and I didn't learn this here in the last few months, this is a connective tissue. It flows from our brain plumb down to the end of our big toe. And it connects everything we are together. Without it, we could not live. As it flows through us, it bathes our body, literally on the inside. Picks up certain aspects of our body that we call waste and dispels it through our breath and our perspiration. You want to know why your breath stinks? You want to know why you stink? You don't take a bath? God made you that way. And you better thank God you are, because God is letting the normal process take place in you. Amen. I thank God for stinking badness. I was in a place not long ago out in Mississippi, and it was one of them dignified redneck places. And I said something about sweating, and the lady, real dignified, came by. She said, "So you sweat?" She said, "I perspire." I said, "Do what you want. Jesus sweat." And where I'm from, it's sweating. We sweat because God made us that way. And without blood, I promise you, you'd quit sweating. He'll dispel this business of the waste through our pores and through our breath. You've got 60,000 miles of blood vessels that flow through your body. For every pound of fat over your ideal weight, you add 20 more miles to it. Must I say that overweight, myself included, taxes our autonomy, our health? Oh, that's right. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're a lost person, your heart beats 100,000 times every day. Keep this blood flowing. The importance of it. When you lose enough, you prick your finger. I did several times. My wife had pricked my finger to check my blood sugar during those periods. Doctor told her, check my blood sugar. She'd go to wipe it off. I'd say, I won't keep all I got. Huh? It's precious. As a matter of fact, it's so precious, God said, your life is in it. My life is in it. I'm telling you, we're serving a big God, a great God that designed us to work in such a way. Amen. The ingredients of it. Can I give you this? From a hematological, biological aspect, there is the importance of it. There's ingredients involved here. There's a liquid, which they call plasma. There is the solid, which they call blood cells. I can't give you all of it, but there are erythrocytes, red blood cells that are donut-shaped. They're shaped that way, God intended for them to be, so they'd have a bigger area inside and outside and all around that they can pick up this life-giving substance called oxygen. The reason you slow down when your blood drops is because there ain't enough blood to carry the oxygen around. It's not the blood itself that keeps you alive. It is what is in the blood. The life of the flesh is... He didn't say it's the blood. He said the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you build a fire and somebody comes over here beside it and turns a blower on, what's going to happen? That fire's going to get life. You know why? He just blowed oxygen into it. And every little red cell, donut-shaped red cell that comes by and picks up a little oxygen and runs it to your brain, you go, woo! Life comes to it. Fire gets in us. Amen. God is in the business of giving us life through this blood. I say, boy, there's something in it. White blood cells. I won't give you all the special names, just white blood cells. Without it, we'd get sick and die immediately. When we get a little infection, they go running to the rescue. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is if your blood gets messed up, you're messed up.
Yes, sir.
Huh? There's certain things about our blood that gives us immunity, and we ought to thank God for that blood. Amen? Then there's platelets. Thrombocytes, they call them. What good would it be if God put blood in us and we could prick our finger and bleed to death? But God put a little thing called platelets in there, so if we did accidentally prick ourselves, it'd immediately coagulate and stop. Because He knows the importance of it. Hello? I came over Oak Mountain New Year's Eve night, 6:30, just got dark. Two boys drunk, might have been kin to y'all, I don't know. I ain't putting them down, I'm just telling you they came over Oak Mountain drunk as a skunk. Pins and needles all in their head and their ears and their nose and their lips. And they lost a car and they slung sideways, slammed into a Ford pickup truck with three other people in it. I saw it about as far as here from that hand sanitizer, I guess that's what that is out there. And when I got up to the scene and the smoke still billowing, I got out and these two boys was in this car. Come to find out these twins, one laying in the back seat, sprawled every which way, blood running out his nose and his ears. And the other one in the front seat screaming at him, calling his name and saying, please don't die on me. I could smell gas, looked under the car, gas running everywhere. I drugged the one boy out and took him across the road. Said, lay here for a minute. We drugged the other boy out, blood running everywhere. And I said, the best thing we can do is just try to keep blood from running out of him. I couldn't fix bones. I couldn't mend the cuts. I couldn't do anything about internal damages. But I had enough sense to know if the blood kept running, he's going to die. Oh, thank God for blood. Thank God for a God that knew how to divinely design us so we can get up on a Tuesday night and come to a preacher's meeting. I'm serving a great God tonight. Number two, I want to talk about the scope of this thing. Watch him in the second statement. I've given it to you upon the altar. I have given, that's past tense, to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. Let's take us a scope just a minute. And let's go all the way back to the beginning. Now I believe I'm in good company to say this, and nobody has to criticize me. I believe with all my heart. Matter of fact, I just know it. Now, if you can, of course, Scofield Bible, and he put that little space between verse 1, verse 2, and Genesis 1, it don't mean a thing. It just means whoever printed it put that space there. God didn't put it there. I don't believe in a gap theory. Now, you do, that's fine. Leave me alone. I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the only man and the first man He ever made was Adam. Hello? I think I'll run with God than C.I. Scofield. So he dead. Somewhere back yonder, if you'll take the scope and look at it close enough, you'll see somewhere out yonder that somewhere in the eternal counsels of God, in the wisdom and the knowledge of God's own will, He's working it out where nobody can make it without blood physically, and nobody can make it without blood spiritually. How far are you going to go back? Let's go to Adam. Let's go to the beginning. Huh? Romans 5:12, you may not agree with this, that's all right, you just don't agree with Scripture. Eve did not sin willfully. Eve sinned ignorantly. Not by a woman that sin came into our life, but by one man, Romans 5:12. One man. Sin came on Eve's life ignorantly, but Adam died volitionally, willingly. She would have been dead in sin forever and ever and ever and ever if Adam had not stepped in. She's a type of the church. He's a type of Christ. And you'll not find her burial in the Bible because the church will never die. Adam died. He died. He sinned. When he sinned so that he could redeem Eve, who had ignorantly stepped into the trap of Satan and the devil himself. Hey, let me tell you, we're blessed tonight. Adam and Eve plunged in sin. Adam knew how to get in to sin, but he didn't know how to get out. God came walking by one day and said to Adam, Adam, where art thou? And he wasn't asking him because he didn't know. He knew where he was. He just wanted Adam to confess. Me and the woman that thou gavest me have sinned. That's all God wants out of anybody. He's to confess their sin. Amen. And then God came along after he made his confession, got things right with God. And the Bible said they're covered in some kind of plant world. But God said, that ain't going to work, Adam. I'm not pleased with that. The only way you can be pleased and appeased is shed the blood of animals. A shadow and a typology of what's coming. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but what's coming out of there? And then He clothed them By the way, all of us tonight are clothed as a result of the blood. When Adam and Eve took those clothes, those skins of animals, and put them on them, they didn't look like Adam and Eve. They looked like those animals. The sacrifice that had been made for them. And you and I, when we get clothed in the righteousness of Christ because of the sacrifice made for us, who died for us, who lost His identity on Calvary's cross, and we gained His identity. We lost our identity and took on the identity of Christ. Oh, look at the scope. Look way back under Adam. He's doing it back then. Now here's what I want to tell you about Adam. Let me get back down. We got bad blood tonight. In us. Because we come from Him. When conception takes place, and I realize we're in a mixed audience tonight, and I want to be as careful as I can, but be as biblical as I can. Conception takes place, the egg and the sperm attach. And it becomes a living entity. And it'll implant itself against the womb, the wall of that womb 5 days later. God will come back. Spurt the blood in him. You wonder why God's judging America tonight? Look at all them babies. Look at all that life-giving blood that has been shed and discarded. You complain and I complain about them 30 million foreign illegals in the country from Mexico. Taking all our jobs. Well, if you'll stop America from killing babies, they would have done been grown, filling those places. Hello? The pulpits have become silent about abortion. But you can't study blood and not stand against it. Amen, preacher. Let me get back to Adam's name. Adam sinned. When Adam sinned according to Romans 5, we've all sinned. Don't you even believe the lie of the Immaculate Conception? When Roman Catholicism talks about Immaculate Conception, they're not talking about Jesus. They're talking about Mary. They think Mary, they say Mary was born sinless. But she was not. She's a sinner like everybody else. Had to go the same way through the darling son. Back to Adam just a minute. The blood. Man-made religion trying to cover themselves up. God said it ain't going to work. God said it ain't going to work. Immediately at that point, a precedence has been set. God will never be satisfied any other way except blood. You're looking through your scope. You'll have to go all the way back to Adam. Abel come offering a sacrifice acceptable to God. Reckon where? Nowhere in the world did God ever tell Abel or Cain what to bring. Reckon who told them? Adam and Eve did. Mama probably did. Sitting on her knee one day at the rocking chair. Let me tell you what God did for us over yonder when I got in a mess and Daddy bailed me out and then God came along and bailed us all out. Amen. Abel took it serious. And he brought a blood sacrifice acceptable to God. But Cain came trying to get blood out of a turnip. And you can't. You won't go to heaven that way. Without the shedding of blood, there is no zero remission of sin. You're looking through your scope. Go to Noah. Two animals of every kind. But God said, Noah, when you load them animals up, two of every kind, but when you come to a clean one, get seven of them. Well, why seven? Well, when you get out, you're going to need them. And the first thing he done, built an altar, made a sacrifice, and he needed that stable lot of animals that were clean to make sacrifice, to shed blood. You're looking through your scope? More Abraham's the most beautiful picture of what God's done for us. God said, Abraham, won't you take five animals? Three big ones, two small ones. Cut the three in half. That makes six. And two small makes eight. Eight's a number new beginning. Put four on one side, four on the other. That takes care of the whole world. Amen. And then God said to Himself, after He done told Abraham, He said, "I want you to walk through." But God said, "He can't. Lad, he's too weak. He ain't got what it takes." So God put him to sleep. All of a sudden, slumber and sleep came on. And he fell asleep. Woke up. When he woke up, there's them sacrifices on each side. And the blood all spilled out in the middle. And there's footprints in it. And God said, over in the book of Hebrews, the writer said he could swear by no greater. He couldn't trust Abraham. He couldn't trust me and you. But he could swear by no greater. When God walked through there and made that blood imprint, those imprints in that blood, He knew it was settled once and for all. Amen. I can hear old Abraham, "Woo!" Yeah. Look at there what God did. He did it for me. And by the way, anybody ever get saved will not save themselves. As a matter of fact, I can't save them. I missed church Wednesday night at the hospital with somebody. And a little 13-year-old, I've seen her come to the altar over and over and over, brother mine. But she got saved. Or Sunday night, I'm sorry. Sunday night, she got saved. Saved. I don't have to be there. God does that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. You got your scope out? Oh, I wish I had time. I'm not sure we need to leave Abraham, do you? Boy, what a picture. God said, "You're going to have a starry future." You know what I said? More than the stars. He said, "You're going to have a sandy future." Huh? 70 people out of Abraham's loins went into Egypt. 430 years later. 2.5 million walked out. Israel, 70 people out of his loins, was in the womb of Egypt for 430 years. And God birthed, by the way, by blood. He said, "If you'll take a little blood, put it on the doorpost and across the top, and you walk through there, I will pass over you." God's in the birthing business through the blood. He birthed the whole nation through the blood. Talking about this business of taking and going back, He has given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your sins. I don't have time tonight. It's indescribable. It's hard to, you'll never get it all out. Moses, they had to shed blood. He knew all about that. Rahab, it was a scarlet line that she let down. Solomon building those great massive temples. It was blood that ran out of those temples down across the brook Kidron. It was blood, my friend, that Solomon knew all about. If you want to go back just as far as we can go, go to Adam. But let's go back about 33 A.D. on a hill on the side of the road over yonder in Jerusalem. The Lamb of God spilled. No, He gave blood. God's always required blood. The natural. You better thank God there's blood running in you. The historical. You better thank God He's always done it that way. I'm glad I got a God don't change. I'm glad I don't have to light a candle every night and rub some beads. Bow to some little short, fat fella, bald-headed, sitting on the mantle. I'm glad I don't have to do that. I didn't have to check. I didn't have to check with nobody when I left. I didn't have to talk to no fella with his dress on and his collar turned around backwards before I left the house. I sat in the car and I was fixing to give him a call, the preacher a call. And before it did, I just quietly, quickly said, "Lord, please help us tonight. Hey, we're serving a great God, but it's because of historically He's done it all through blood." Let me get this last part and I'm done. I can stay here all night. But let me give you this. I'm sorry, preacher, I've been so long. natural statement in verse number 11. Life of the flesh in the blood. The historical, I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement of yourself. The theological. For it is the blood. It is the blood that make an atonement for the soul. This is the study of martyrology. It's the study of sin. You know why most people don't get saved today? They don't think they're sinners. As a matter of fact, there is a committee which certain elements of the Baptist persuasion have appointed people from their ranks to sit in on this committee out in California, which we'll meet, has met, and will meet again this year, in hopes of writing a whole new song book. And there's two things they want to get rid of. Number one, they want to remove the blood every time it talks about blood. And number two, they want to get that word in Amazing Grace that saved a wretch. A wretch. People today don't believe they're wretches. They don't believe they're sinners. People today don't see the need to be saved because they don't see they're sinners. We live in a day of spiritual, sexual, social relativism. What's truth to me, they say, may not be truth to you. And what's truth to you may not be truth to me. I talked to an old boy, Sylvester's life, he's blowed it, Brother Ken. And he said, but the legal things, the legal aspect of this situation of mine, I said, who cares about it? I said, what you going to do with the moral law? I said, I'll go to jail before I take your law over his law. But we're living in that day. The Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But we turn to psychologists and psychiatrists and prissy preachers.
Yes, sir.
And they say, why there's so much good in the worst of us, and there's so much bad in the best of us, that it don't behoove us to talk about the rest of us. That'll send you to hell. I want to ask you a question. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. One writer said, his blood dried up and coagulated and vanished. I dare to differ. Jesus was in the garden. It was in a garden where a man messed us up. And he's in a garden where a man got things corrected for us. It always takes the cause to get the cure. If you got a pneumonia shot this year, they gave you the pneumonia virus. It was a man that messed us up. I'm sorry, ma'am, but a woman couldn't redeem us. Because as a man, and you ought to shout over that, because she wasn't guilty. She was ignorant. As a man messed us up, and it took a man to get us out. It's God's requirement. And he is in that garden, already resurrected. Mary came in looking for him. She supposed him to be the gardener. Why? I guess he's doing gardener things. Putting petals back on things. Blooms back on them. He'll do that in a person's life. He'll put a sweet smell in your eye. she started to walk away, and he said, "Mary, Mary, nobody can call your name like he can." And she turned and said, "Rabboni," and I don't think she just sat there and said, "Man, it's good to see you." Now she run to him. He said, "Don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended." Now, 24 hours or less later, he told Thomas, he said, "Touch me." Now, I want to ask you, is he a show in partiality here? What happened? Somewhere in that time frame, he ascended back into heaven, had that blood. You see, all the altars built down here, even that, and they're talking about that Ark of the Covenant down here. It's just a type of that one that's up there. And he took that blood and he went back to heaven. Now, you don't have to believe it. I believe everything literal God does. And he applied the blood on the mercy seat in heaven for me and you. Yeah, the real blood. On the real altar and the real mercy seat. Every time a priest would go behind that veil in secret, sprinkle some blood on that place, he'd come out from back there and that altar would be hollering, "Sacrifice!" Never was satisfied. But when Jesus went behind that glory veil, he walked away and hollered, "Hey, I'm satisfied!" What can wash away my sin? I challenge you. You take your Bible. I challenge you. Jesus never visited a temple after he rose from the dead. And he never visited one lost person. Never showed himself to the religious crowd. Never showed himself to the high priests. The only crowd he went after was that discouraged, depressed saints of God that had been following him around all them time. And he encouraged them, gathered them together like a hen would her little chicks, and took them out as far as Bethany. He didn't go back to Bethlehem because they rejected him there. So he went as far, because the next town would have been Bethlehem. He went as far as Bethany. They accepted him there. He's common at the table of Mary and Martha and her brother Lazarus. And they loved him there, so he didn't go no farther than that. He went where they cared for and loved him, and he took him as far as that and lifted up his hands and blessed them and went away. He arose, but he arose with a promise that he's coming back, and he is coming back. The blood, you can depend on it. He's going to come back. I told y'all I ain't young as that fella, man. I got to quit. Watch this. I'm done. Now, I don't know. I'm not here to argue with writers and authors and theologians. I'm dumb myself. I don't know everything. I sure don't. If that old I get more, I don't know. But his blood will never rot. His blood will never coagulate. In other words, it won't rot, it won't clot. And it won't ever not. Not what? It'll never lose its power. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power. There is power. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. So, science of hematology, the scope of history, the study of heart. I'm glad. Oh, man. I'm so glad God let me see myself one day as a sinner. I ain't sure where I belong no more. Do that whatever you want. I don't. I don't fit in down here no more. Bless God, you don't know. That's right, I told you I'm dumb. I'm not sure where I fit in no more. And I'm, be honest with you, I didn't even know what all God was doing for me. That Tuesday afternoon when He saved me, Brother David. The further I go, and the more I know, the less I feel at home down here. How many of y'all glad you got blood flowing through you tonight? The mayor of Carrollton's daughter. Mayor of Carrollton's daughter, 18 years old. May God help me. I never want to bear my children. I don't want to bear my grandchildren. My children and grandchildren are supposed to live, outlive me. 18 years old. I don't have to tell you the whole story. She's pregnant. She bled to death. Twins. Buried them all in one casket. That's this past week. Week before, I can't remember now. When Gail told me that, I said, you know, we take so much for granted down here. We don't never know what's going to take place. Never know what's going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing. You may make it through this year with cancer. You may make it through this year with a loved one with Alzheimer's. You may make it this year through. Hardest thing Leah had to deal with was rejection. Unreturned love. She loved that man so much, she thought she could win his love by giving him babies. You read them last few verses, though, she finally turned away from him and turned to him. Found out he loved her, no matter what. You may be rejected, shoved aside. You can live through all that. But if you lose what God put in you to keep you here, you're a goner. If I didn't worship Him for no other reason, I'd do that. If I didn't thank Him for no other reason tonight, I'd thank Him there's blood coursing through my veins, picking up a life-giving flow of oxygen that's firing me up every morning and letting me go. Oh, we're blessed! But if God saw to it you couldn't live physically without blood, you say, how do you know all that, Brad? I had to ask the doctor a few questions. But you all know conception takes place when that, as I said, that egg and that sperm comes together. Somewhere between 2 to 5 days later, God goes to doing something. Most conceptions take place in what they call the fallopian tube. I'm not going to get too graphic, but I just want to tell you how all this comes to be. And the fallopian tube runs from the ovaries down to the womb. And as this little baby, which will go down because during that particular 2 to 5 day period, there will be this hormonal chemical change in a woman that will cause that baby to be washed and flushed through blood down through that fallopian tube from the ovaries to the womb. And that little sucker, when he goes down that tube and gets to the womb, he'll latch onto the womb, the wall. And when he does, God will take a little covering of blood and cover him over to make that little sack. So whatever else takes place, he's covered. There might be four or five of them in there, and they may be going through that flow going out the channel, but he's done attached to the wall, and he covered up, and he ain't going nowhere. If God does that to see you get here, how much more is he going to require a covering of blood for you to get there? What can wash away my sins? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. No wonder that old thief hanging on that cross. No wonder. No wonder that Paul. No wonder that Peter and John, and no wonder your preacher in yesteryears and your mom and daddy that was saved. No wonder you and I tonight are out here in all this global warming. At a church building outside Bowden, Georgia. No wonder we're different and strange and peculiar. God done covered us in blood. We're a bloody mess. Do you know that? We're a bloody mess. Thank God for His blood. Sorry it took so long.